From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look at the south end of Everbank Field. That's where the new tunnel will be dug out. Some of the seats are gone. The prowl will end there in 2016. And now we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. Plenty to get to today. Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback on the show here in studio with us. Prospect visits are underway. A big day yesterday. We'll recap some of the big names coming through Everbank Field yesterday. And NFL draft scout and CBSSports.com draft analyst Dane Brugler will join us over the phone. We welcome in John Osier and our quarterback, Blake Bortles. What's up, man? How we doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
I know you've got a golf tournament coming up, the Blake Bortles Foundation Golf Tournament, the 15th and 16th down at, the King and Bear, right?
Yep, down in St. Augustine at World Golf Village.
That'll be nice. How's your game right now?
It's actually gotten better. It's about as good as it can be without getting a lesson. So I was kind of like trying to pride myself on never getting a lesson, but I can't break 85 without one, so I'm in trouble.
85 is not bad, though, right?
Yeah, but okay. The problem is it's either 85 or 100. I go either way.
I always go 100.
Yeah. Is your foundation, I know you started, I think, last year, right?
Launched it 2 months ago about.
Talk about it a little bit, and is it getting to where you want it to be?
Yeah, so it all started, it kind of started from autism. I got paired up with this thing called the Challenger League in high school, which was mentally and physically disabled kids playing flag football and baseball and stuff like that. And you kind of got partnered or had a buddy with a kid, and mine was a kid named CJ Williams that had autism. So that's where it all started, you know, became very close with his family and his parents and all of that. And my brother took over for me when I left, and my parents still talked to his and remained close. So that's kind of where it all started, and that, you know, kind of turned into mentally and physically disabled kids, as well as first responders. Growing up, I played for Pop Warner, and all our coaches were cops and firefighters, so guys that, you know, meant a lot to me and I cared a lot about. So we're doing the golf tournament and concert on the 15th and 16th. A couple golf spots left, and there's tickets available for the concerts on the BlakeBortlesFoundation.com, so you can get all that there. But we're excited to do it. You know, we're looking forward to having a good time, throwing a big party and raising a lot of money and trying to make a difference and impact in the community.
A couple of golf spots left. I'll ask you about that a little later. How about that?
All right,
coming up. Who's at the concert, by the way?
John Party's playing Friday night, and nice. then Saturday night is Kane Brown. So John Party is a guy that I've met over the past couple of years. That is, you know, a new up and coming rising country star. He's awesome. And Kane Brown is a guy that I haven't had a chance to meet yet. That is also a young up and comer. You know, has a huge following. So we're excited to have those guys come out and play.
Country music fan, apparently you are.
Yeah. I like country. I like it all, but I like country probably is number one.
You were also involved earlier this week in the charity challenge out at TPC Sawgrass. We've got video of it now. A good thing you went ahead of Gus because he was in the water.
Yeah.
But there was a little controversy about yours on the green or not on the green. You're right on the fringe.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
You know, I got to tell you, I hit a wedge about as good as I've ever hit a wedge in my life. It was pure, John. It was pure. I hit it and I was like, oh, go, that's in the hole. And I probably stopped. I mean, it hit. I mean, you saw it was probably, you know, I thought it was like 8 feet, you know, trickled back a little bit. I had a little string on it, pulled it back, and, it, you know, nestled up on the fringe and they didn't count it. But I think I would have won if they would have measured it anyways. But apparently you have to be on the green. But I got an email after the tournament saying the fringe rule is no longer in effect. So next year that would have counted. I got to club up a little bit.
Dude, it sounds like you need to. That's not on the green is on the green, and you were not on the green. All right, off season's here. You're knee deep in the playbook by now, right? I mean, are you more comfortable now in the playbook than you were, say, this time last?
Yeah, definitely, totally different. You know, last year trying to just learn the terminology and figure out, you know, all that stuff. To whereas now, you know the terminology. You know, it's a second language to you, and you're trying to figure out, you know, the little things and, you know, how to correct or tweak little things that can make us better.
We talked, and by we, the media, fans, everybody, so much last year, this time, about your fundamentals. It almost got talked to death. But that was your focus.
Right.
This offseason, a different feel from you. What is your focus?
You know, it's kind of the same thing, you know, physically and mentally both, right? So going into the second year in the same system, you know, you don't have to learn. There's not as much volume, right? You already know it or know most of it. So it's kind of fine tuning different things. And the same physically, mm-hmm. you know, went out there and threw with Tom and those guys out in LA, and just kind of tweaked a couple things physically, but felt good about it. And now it's just kind of getting to do it, you know, repetition and repetition to where it becomes muscle memory and can kind of do it all the time and not think about it.
That had to be satisfying for that to hold last year.
Yeah.
I knew going in, it's always an issue with a guy who's trying to get some things down fundamentally as a quarterback, and it seemed to hold, and you seem confident that you've sort of, I don't say got it because you can't say that around here.
Right.
But it seems to have taken.
Yeah, you know, it felt good because I was a little nervous as well about, you know, you can sit in there and you can play catch and you can go through 7-on-7 in practice knowing you're not going to get hit right. And it all holds up. But it's like, you know, what's going to happen in the game when you got to do that's going to kill you right after you throw it? You know, is it going to hold or are you going to go back to how you used to throw the ball? And for the most part, it did hold up. But there were still little flashes of some old stuff that I'd like to get rid of, and I'm still working on that. But it's a work in progress to try and make it, you know, as consistent as possible.
Blake Bortles with us, Jaguars quarterback on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Some social media questions coming up, but some additions in free agency on offense, most notably on defensive side of the ball, but Ivory in the running back room now. A couple of offensive linemen added. Are you? What are your thoughts when you saw this going down? Did you follow it day to day with a free agency signing?
Yeah, no, I kind of saw it. I guess you guys might have seen it first, but I'd see it on Twitter and see who we got or whatever, stuff like that. People would text me, but it's awesome. You know, I think Chris Ivory is a guy that, you know, we got to see last year. A guy that, you know, him and TJ, I think, will be awesome together. I think you know, the way he runs the ball is violent, and you know, he's kind of a ferocious back and gets after it and goes downhill, so that's exciting to see. And Kelvin Beachum's another guy, you know, that we brought in from Pittsburgh. You know, two guys that have played and done well and proven, you know, their capabilities and what they can do. So we're excited to have them.
Everybody's got their opinion on the Jaguars' offense and Blake Bortles, and you've had a lot of praise, deservedly so, for where you went last year. Where do you feel like you stand, and where do you feel like you need to go this offseason? What's your priority as this thing starts to open up?
Yeah, you know, I think the mental aspect of it is something to work on. You know, obviously the big thing to me was the interceptions and the sacks. You know, you got to cut down on both of those. You know, me and Chad have watched stuff together and, you know, tried to figure a lot of it's mentally, you know, both whether it's protection calls or whether it's reads, you know, not putting the ball in the right place. So cutting that down, you know, you like to get the interceptions down below 10, down in the single digits would be ideal. But I think being able to do that and then cut the sacks in half as well. You know, we cut them down from 2 years ago, cut them down last year, and continue to get that down. And I think, you know, what Gus and Dave and Shot have done, bringing different guys in mm-hmm. for competition up front is only going to help out. So I think it'll continue to get better. And a lot of it was on me. A lot of the interceptions, all the interceptions obviously on me, and a lot of the sacks as well. That's kind of something that I think will come with repetition and stuff within the offense and working through the protections and all that.
Sacks don't get talked a lot as a quarterback, but you just said it, and Olsen said it earlier this season, it's on everybody, and the quarterback, in terms of calls, in terms of seeing it, I guess has some responsibility there too, which it sounds like you...
Yeah, totally. I mean, every now and then you get a random case where something happens. Somebody pulls a freak move, an offensive lineman slips or falls, right. And there's a guy in your lap in an instant. But, you know, for the most part, you know, whether it's a mental mistake and, you know, not making the right call to get the guys in the right spot and picking things up. But, you know, it's kind of knowing it, right? So if you do make the wrong call, you got to know you made the wrong call. And when you got to be able to throw hot and get the ball out of your hands. And if something happens, you know, you got to have, you know, the thing they always say is, you know, a guy having an internal clock.
Right.
And understanding that. So, you know, being able to know, you know, when to get the ball out of your hands. And you watch the guys that are really good and get sacked the least amount of times, the Bradys and the Brees and Mannings and all that, they get the ball out quick and they understand, you know, when to do that and how to do it and when to get the ball in the right places.
All of that's about field sense and experience. Did you feel that developing last year? Could you feel you, I guess, getting it?
Yeah. You know, it came with every game, with every week, with every practice. Felt more and more comfortable within it and felt more and more comfortable in the game. It really did. And I thought it kind of felt like that way with our whole offense. You know, guys felt, you know, obviously going into week one playing Carolinas, you know, it's our first test, right? Playing in, you know, a season opener and a new offense. You know, we'll see kind of what we have and what we can do. And as the season went on, you know, guys kind of started to figure out this is who we are, who we're going to be, and, you know, have the potential to be, you know, a really good and explosive offense. So I think guys kind of felt that, and, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, really kind of believed in it. So I hope that continues to rise, and I believe it will.
Social media questions at BBortles5 on Twitter for the Jaguars quarterback. You ready for these?
Yeah, bring them on.
Okay, let's go. This is from Instagram, AlistairFish18. What do you eat regularly to keep in shape and stay fit for the games? I'm from England and a big Jaguars fan.
Tacos, you said earlier this offseason.
Pizza
right?
Hut and chicken wings.
That'll do it.
Yeah. No, when I'm out in California, there's a chef that comes and I live with Latavius Murray, who I played with in college. That's running back in Oakland. So we live together out in California, and have a chef that comes and cooks all this healthy food for us that tastes horrible. So we eat that. And then when I'm here, you know, Mindy, our nutritionist, is awesome. So I usually eat breakfast and lunch here at the facility, and then try and grab some kind of healthy option. She's actually given me a menu of places around my house, restaurants, and what I'm allowed to eat off of those menus. So she's awesome. She makes it really easy on me. Every now and then I still go with like chicken tenders and fries or something.
That's a little different from the first year, right? I mean, that's a kind of a rude awakening.
Yeah. I know. The first year there was a Zaxby's right by my house, which was a horrible idea. But yeah, no, it's huge, because I mean, it's all, you don't really realize it. You know, I think it's hard to say now as being 23 years old, you don't realize how much it affects you. But, you know, talking to older guys, it's a huge part of being able to stay, you know, at your top performance and in shape and keeping your body healthy and all that is, you know, your nutrition. So it's a big deal.
Let's go to question three. AC Smoke asking, who or what is your spirit animal? Asking for a friend.
My spirit
I don't know what that
animal,
means.
AC. My spirit animal, baby sloth.
Why?
Because I figured nobody would ever expect me to say a baby
That's
sloth.
That's very true. That is correct, in fact. Next question. In the offseason, is it considered beneficial to study defensive coordinators from the division, or is it a waste of time due to personnel change?
Yeah, no, it's huge. And that's one thing Ole's huge on, is knowing who the defensive coordinator is, knowing, you know, what have they done in previous years, because guys are going to kind of stay true to who they are and what they do, no matter what the personnel is. And I think that's, you know, definitely something that we pay attention to and look at within our division. Who are the coordinators? Where have they been? What have they done? You know, are they going to be able to do what they've done in the past with the personnel that they have there? So, no, that is a really big part of what we do.
Final social media question from 904. How far can we go this season? Do you want to make any predictions?
Was that the end of his hashtag name, or was that was the question?
No, that's the question. How far can we go this season?
That wasn't his Twitter
baby
handle.
Baby sloth. Okay, let's go ahead.
You know, I think it's you know, it's endless. We're working right now to go into this you know, spring kind of, and go through OTAs and continue, try to pick up where we left off and make improvements, and carry that into the summer and into fall. And I think that we're going to be a talented group. Gus and Dave and Shot have done a good job of getting the right pieces in the right place, and I'm excited about it. I think we're a talented young team that's not as young as we used to be. We're experienced now, and there's really no excuse to not being able to be successful. You know, Gus is huge on going through the process and staying true to that, and that's what we all focus on. We know the end results will come, which is winning, as long as we stay true to who we are and what we do and what we believe in. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good, fun year.
You said excitement a lot, but it strikes me sitting here listening to you and from talking to you over the year, you seem different in terms of maybe last year you learned for sure, yeah, I can do it in this league. Going into year three, second year coordinator, guys around you, it has to be fun to be you right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's, you go from, you know, coming in, you have to have, I think, as an NFL quarterback, you know, starting out, you got to have confidence within yourself, because you're going to take a beating, mm-hmm. you know, physically, mentally, from fans, from people that have never seen you play.
Don't point to me, John.
Yeah, from JP.
stare at me.
You're going to get crushed by the media. You know, I almost broke Peyton Manning's rookie interception record and stuff like that. But, you know, as you go, you continue, and, you know, if it, you know, the whole cliche saying, if it unbreaks, it makes you stronger, and it's true. I mean, you go through that and you learn from all these things and grow, and if you allow it to let you grow and learn from it and get better, it's just going to pay off in the end. And I think, you know, that's something that we've continued to do as a core group of guys that came in.
Blake, we're going to look forward to the Jaguars.com foursome in your tournament next weekend that you gave us. It was very nice of you.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to have you. I gave it, I just want to see you play.
You've never seen me play, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm looking forward to
it. I'd get
that.
Closer than you would on 17, I'll tell you.
Doubt it.
At least to be on the green, unlike somebody.
Yeah, whatever. At least I didn't hit an 8-iron over there short like somebody.
Oh, that's terrible. Not good.
Is that Gus?
That might have been.
All right, good.
Apparently. We'll let all you right. say that. We appreciate your time. Good luck to you. And, of course, all the information on the golf tournament at BlakeBortlesFoundation.com. Good luck, man.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Blake,
there he
always.
Is, Jags quarterback joining us. That's coming up April 15th and 16th at the World Golf Village in St. Augustine, the King and Bear. Concerts and then golf on the 16th on Saturday. Visit BlakeBortlesFoundation.com. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Prospect visits underway. Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it. Blake leaving here. And, you know, prospect, not that long ago, we're talking to him in the hallway during a prospect visit.
And not that long ago, you're at his pro day, and not that long ago, where everybody really didn't know how this was going to play out. He's still in the process of it. But it's always interesting to me to talk to guys who are in that transition period from not really knowing if they can do it in this league to realizing they can do it. And then that next step, how much can you develop? How much of your potential can you attain? He's right in the middle of that. Very exciting time for him. He knows there's still a lot of steps to be taken. But as a player, to have that feeling, especially as a quarterback, yes, I can do it. I can read it. What I did to make me get here is going to translate into this league. A lot of guys don't make it. He now knows he can make it. And now the fun part, how good can I get? You can feel that in him.
Prospects around Everbank Field yesterday, including some of the big names, Bosa, Jack, Hargraves, Ramsey, and each player confident in what they can bring to the Jags.
You know, I'm a lockdown corner. I'm an impact player. You know, I can make plays. I can take away the other player's other team's best player, and I can get you points on defense.
Jalen Ramsey brings the best player in this draft, the most versatile player, a guy who can come in immediately and play corner or safety or nickel. Make an impact on the team, have a very successful year and career, and who's going to work hard and elevate my teammates as well.
Coach told me defense was struggling last year, so obviously need some help on the pass rushing standpoint. 29th in passing defense last year, overall defense. So if you want a better defense, bring in the best pass rusher in the nation.
They need to draft Miles Jack because Miles Jack is going to come in. He's going to be an impact player. He's going to work hard. He's going to represent Jacksonville to the fullest. And he's going to give it everything he has. And he's excited to be a part of this young up-and-coming team with the offense they have and, you know, the pieces you guys are putting on defense. I feel like I'll be the perfect fit.
Pretty cool to hear from those guys yesterday. Here's the full list of players who were in on Tuesday. 9 players through, including a couple of names you might not have expected, guys like Eli Apple and Clark and Jones and Stanley, the tackle from Notre Dame, in as well. All those visits, by the way, that you just heard are on Jaguars.com and reported to be more in the building today as well. So it's kind of how this happens for the Jags. They like to get it done in a couple of days.
I do in a couple of days with the idea that when they're here, they're talking to coaches. They're talking to position coaches. And the idea is, let's get them here. If the coaches are going to talk to these guys and take time away from their planning for next season, from their draft planning, let's go ahead and do it in 2 days rather than spread it out over 2-3 weeks during April. So, it's not really much of an indication about what they're going to do because, guess what? There's a lot of defensive guys in here. Jaguars might go defense early. There's a lot of guys who are projected as top 10 picks. Guess what? The Jaguars have a top 10 pick. So all the guys are guys that make sense. Can't draft them all. I expect the number 5 pick has been in here sometime in the last couple of days, and that's your news for today, JP.
Well, hey, you're digging deep, Johnny.
Hey, and there's a reason I'm here.
And, of course, not many teams have the access to those guys while they're here, so we appreciate the football side for the access to those guys. By the way, the draft party coming up April 28th at Everbank Field. That's about all we know right now. More details coming up in the next few days here on Jaguars.com. Let's go to the phone line and welcome in our next guest today. NFL draft scout and CBS Sports draft analyst Dane Brugler has been a busy man lately. What's up, Dane?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing well. We appreciate you coming on. I know you just had your draft guide release with 450 prospects included. Are you exhausted or ready for more?
You know, it's just that time of the year, and so this is what I work year-round on, and if anyone's interested, they can just go to my Twitter, at DPBrugler, and find out how to download that PDF. But, you know, it's something that scouting is really a, you know, 365-day-a-year type of thing. And, you know, still trying to find some sleeper prospects later in the draft. But I think this this publication covers almost everyone that will be drafted.
Dane, we'll talk to you about individual guys at the top. That's what Jaguars fans want to know about. But what's your assessment of maybe the top 7-8 guys compared to the last couple of years? And how deep does this draft go in terms of guys who you feel like are bona fide difference makers worth that elite level pick?
Yeah, and it's tough from year to sure. year, obviously. When you're looking at the top 10, you know, not every top 10 is built like the top 10 of last year or next year. And, you know, we look back at the 2013 NFL draft. You look at that top 10, you know, Eric Fisher went one. That was Luke Jokel at top three. And, you know, really the only player from that top 10 who's really lived up to where he was taken has been Onsa, the right. defensive end from Detroit. So, you know, you look at this year's top 10. Will it be similar? How will it compare to past top 10s? It's tough, but I do think there is some definite talent in this year's top 10. Guys that you could project as possible Pro Bowlers, guys that will start in this league for a long time. And then, you know, looking at the first and second, third round, I think that's where the strength of this draft is, in my opinion. We might not have a lot of the star power at the top, but you're going to be able to find NFL starters second, third, fourth round this year. Some positions are stronger than others. Interior defensive line, wide receiver, corner. Now, those are some strengths of day two this year. So a lot of future starters can be found in that area.
Dane Brugler with us from CBSSports.com and NFL Draft Scout. Your latest mock draft that we have on CBSSports.com is March 28th. And you have Miles Jack to the Jaguars at 5. How do you see that setting up? And are you still on Jack to the Jaguars at 5?
Well, if he's there, Miles Jack is available at pick number 5. I think he'd be a great addition for Jacksonville. Miles is just he's a difference maker. He's a freak athlete with what he's able to do in coverage, his range as a run defender. He can blitz. He can do everything you want from a physical standpoint. The big question with Miles Jack is really the injury. Coming off meniscus surgery back in October, the medical rechecks here in about a week will be paramount to where he is eventually drafted. There are some around the league who are very optimistic about you know, what they saw at the combine and with the knee and then him moving forward, but there are others who are not as optimistic, you know, based on the knee and how it's responded to surgery and the rehab and where Miles will be long term with that knee. So the medical rechecks in about a week, the 14th and the 15th, that'll really tell us where Miles Jack will be drafted. Based on scouting, he's a top 5 to 7 pick. So he's absolutely worth the Jaguars' pick at number 5. The big question is the knee and the long-term you know, prognosis and how it'll hold up.
There's so many different scenarios out there because this is a top 5 that doesn't feel like it has anything set in stone yet. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, if there's a choice there for the Jags at number 5, Ramsey, Bosa, Jack, you know, say they have their pick of the litter, so to speak. What's the best fit? And if you were mocking them in that scenario, who would you have at 5?
Well, it's 3 very good players. I can make a case for each one, to be honest. On my board, personally, I have those guys 2, 3, 4. Miles Jack, 2. Jalen Ramsey, 3. Joey Bosa, 4. So I think they're all in the same tier in terms of overall talent. And I think for the Jaguars, you know, they could go in a direction that I think best fits their roster in terms of the locker room, in terms of the needs on the depth chart. Miles Jack would fit tremendously with his ability, but I could see them preferring possibly Jalen Ramsey, you know, that secondary help. Now with Jalen Ramsey, I don't see an outside corner. If you're going to take him top 5, I see a safety. I see a nickel defender. I see a guy who He's not Patrick Peterson. He needs more of a Tyrann Mathieu type of role. That's what's going to really maximize his value in the NFL. It's what he does best. And then Joey Bosa, the top pass rusher in this class. Now, he's not Von Miller in terms of the way he can bend the edge, but for a 20-year-old player, the way he understands hand use, technique, leverage, initial get-off and power, he might not have a huge ceiling, but who he is as a player right now, it is really impressive. And so at only 20 years old, really, really impressive prospect. I think Joey Bosa, if he's there at five, can make a strong case why he would be the best best choice for Jacksonville.
Do you see any scenario where one of those guys isn't there at five? I mean, some quarterback's going to get pushed up. Tunsil's going to be there, but is there any chance of that not happening?
No, I would feel very strongly that one of those three would be available at five. I think we'll have at least one quarterback go in the top five, likely to the Browns, and then Laremy Tunsil. If he doesn't go one to Tennessee, I don't know how San Diego at three could pass on him. So I do think there's a great chance one of those three will be available. But again, if Miles Jack, if the knee doesn't check out, and say Jalen Ramsey and Bosa are both off the board, then it's a different discussion. At number five could be, you know, someone that we haven't talked about yet because Jack's knee isn't quite ready and because the other two guys are off the board. So that could be an interesting scenario.
Dane Brugler from NFL Draft Scout and CBSSports.com. Give him a follow at DP Brugler on Twitter. That's where the information is for the draft guide release earlier this week. 450 prospects, and we're a little over 3 weeks away from the draft. Good luck to you the next 3 weeks.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There he is.
Dane, thank you.
Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com always has the in-depth draft guide before the NFL draft. Season tickets on sale for 2016. Great home schedule, of course. Tennessee and Houston here. The world champs are here. Green Bay, Oakland, Minnesota, Baltimore as well. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Well done, John.
I think I carried the show today.
Yeah. You might have.
Blake this guy Bortles. Wasn't bad, but, you know, pretty good show for me.
Dane Brugler, Blake Bortles, and, yes, John Osier. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. See you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.